And we just pray that the Spirit of God would just rest upon your heart and upon your soul this morning, that He would encourage you and help you this day. Praise God. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last week, you can see in your bulletin that in the tithe and offerings, it was $1,441.40. So we want to thank you for that. Amen. And Father, Lord, let's pray the blessings. Father, I pray the blessings of God upon your people this day. Lord God, thank you for their giving, Lord God, unto you. But Father, I pray that you would meet every need, want, and desire of their families, Lord God, spiritually and physically, as they have been obedient unto you, Father, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, Children's Church, the kids and the workers, you may go. Amen. Praise God. Lord, bless them and help them this day. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can see in your bulletin the February birthdays. I see Anita Reese and Haley. How do you say her last? Escara? Okay. Amen. All righty. We'll get it straight. And who's that last? 220. Who's that? Rita Duyon. 25? Oh, okay. She'll take 35. I was giving her 25. You'll take that. No, that's right. That can't happen. I was looking at her shoes because she had them off. My God, how can you walk in something like that? Yo, Lord, have mercy. Lord, praise God, praise God. But we do want to wish these people a very happy birthday, and that it would be a great year for you this next year. In February anniversaries, we have Jennifer and Jerry Champanche, and then Terry and Janice Leopold. Their anniversaries coming up. Well, one passed and one's coming up. But we do want to wish them a very happy anniversary. Amen. Don't forget, next Sunday, Otis East is going to be preaching next Sunday. So he's going to be preaching to us. And so pray for him this week. You know, we want what God wants. You might say, well, Pastor, are you going to be here? Yes, I will be here. I'm always here. I'm always here. You know, home is home. You know, the best meals you get are at home. It's good to go eat out every once in a while. That's good. But after a while, it gets like, oh, you just want a home-cooked meal. There's nothing like home. And so, yes, I'll be here. Definitely. Definitely. Amen. All righty. We appreciate you guys. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We've been talking for the last few Sundays about Revelations, I guess, chapter 3 and that segment of that those scriptures in verse 22. And you can see, as I've said earlier, but in Revelation chapter, starting with chapter 2, it talks about letters that were written by John, by the Holy Spirit, that was written to the churches. And there was seven churches. And he wrote these letters under the unction or under the Spirit of the living God that he was writing these letters. And also we know as he wrote these letters, it was actual letters that went to these churches. These were actual churches, just like we have a church here and all over there, Spirit-filled churches all over the place that God has ordained to be his churches. These churches received letters from John, excuse me, received these letters. And these letters, as we know of, were penned down and given to us in the book of Revelations. And this revelations that he gave, or these letters that he gave to the churches, were letters that were considered a progression of the church age. The church age. And you might say, when did the church age start? The church age started in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost, when it says that the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. From that time on, that is the progression of the church. We are now living in the last church age, or the Laodicean church age, which we are living in today. And so, like, for the last few Sundays, we've been reading it. So let's read Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church," which is basic to the pastor, "of the Laodicean church write, these things says, Amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Here we see, we can look and we can see that, you know, God is saying that we're to be either cold or hot. That means we are to pursue him. He does not want us to be lukewarm. Lukewarm means, I can't stand there, so I'll stand here. Lukewarm means one foot in the world and one foot with God. God says he doesn't want that. Now you might say, well, what does God want? God wants us to be sold out to him. In Proverbs chapter 3, I think it is, and Andrew, I don't think you have that scripture, verse 4, 5, 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all your ways consider him, and he will make your path straight." So God says we're to trust him. Yes, we may not have all the answers to everything, but God says we're to trust him wholeheartedly with our lives. Wholeheartedly. Now, I know the first thing we think of when we say, you know, when I'm talking about, well, have one foot in the world, the things of the world, and one foot in the church or with the body of Christ or whatever, that we think of, well, you know, you're thinking of, our minds automatically go to sinful things. I know it. And that's part of it, yes, whatever, you know. But you know what? God says we're to forsake those things, turn our backs on those things, and pursue him. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're pursuing a God that we want to know. Then he says he will make us warm, or he will make us hot towards him. It's ironic, as in this scripture, it says that he's at the door knocking. And I know we often think of that as us sharing the gospel with people, and that he's knocking at the door. This is not written to unbelievers. It's ironic that he says, "I'm at the door knocking," in verse 20. It says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." He's at the door knocking and he's saying, let me in. Let me in. Just as, you know, when we got saved and we gave our hearts to the Lord, we opened the door and said, Father, come in. He's still saying, Joe, or you can put your name, let me in. Let me in the situation that you're in right now. Let me in and I will take care of those things that are hanging you down, that are pulling you down, that is diverting your attention towards the world and not towards me. You see, we have a lot of hang-ups and we have a lot of stuff in our lives that God has to work on, huh? You know, every one of us, from pastors on down, God has a lot of work. Man, I tell you what, we keep the Holy Spirit very busy. My Lord, He cannot slack for a moment. Because if He slacks, we tend to sway to a side that is not directly towards God. And so it takes the Holy Spirit's job to comfort us, because He's the great comforter, to swoo us back and draw us back by His Spirit. So He's speaking to the church. So obviously, He's at, and what He's meaning is He's at the heart of every one of us knocking, saying, let me in. And even when He gets in, He knocks on the little closet doors that we have locked away and said, Lord, you can't get into that area. And He's saying, let me in so I can heal. Let me in so I can bring healing to that area of your life. Let me in so I can heal those areas that need to be healed by me. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. And no amount of counseling can do. There's nothing wrong with counseling. But only the Holy Spirit can do certain things. Only the Holy Spirit. And it also, it says in verse 18, it says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. I know for the last 4 Sundays, I've been preaching on some things and hoping to bring us back to the place where we have our eyes upon Jesus and Him alone. And bringing that eye salve and letting it be put upon our eyes that we could see clearly. Obviously, the church, the whole body of Christ, there's something that's hindering it from seeing the truth. And sometimes it's just false doctrine. I know 4 Sundays ago I talked about the rapture of the church, how Jesus is coming for His people. We need to be ready. He could come tomorrow. There's no prophecy that I know of in Scripture that has not been fulfilled thus yet. It's time. He's about to split those eastern skies. That we need to be ready. But yet we know, you know, people, false teachers have said all kinds of things, you know, that He's not coming back before the tribulation, that He's coming in the middle and coming. None of that stuff is true. He's coming back before the tribulation of upon the earth. The rapture of the church is coming. Second of all, we talked about how we need to praise Him, that we need to live a life of praise and adoration towards our God, thanking Him for who He is. Third of all, we talked about the importance of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have liberty and freedom in the gospel at all. At all. At all. And there's some other things if He wouldn't have died on that cross. But also, and last week we talked about forgiving others and ourselves. Forgiving others and ourselves. And you might say, well, Pastor, why do you keep preaching? Because the Holy Spirit says we need to put that eye salve and keep it on there. That, like last week, we need to forgive others, people. Now, that doesn't mean we trust them. There's some people I wouldn't trust an inch in front of me. At all. And I know you know some like that, too. Wouldn't trust them. But you can't have unforgiveness towards them. Now, I understand forgiveness sometimes takes a process of time for us to feel it, to feel it. But just because we feel something doesn't mean it's actually truth. Okay? We have to forgive others and we got to forgive ourselves because we've all messed up. I know we thought when we got saved, we were perfect. We wouldn't argue anymore. We wouldn't say some horrible things. We wouldn't do some things. And then we found out a few weeks later, some things cropped up and we did it. And some of us maybe are still battling with some things. But I tell you what, there's a cross and there's a blood from Jesus Christ that forgives. And I know it's hard even for me to understand this. I know it's hard for people to understand that when we go to God and we ask forgiveness, that it says that He remembers it no more. That's amazing to me. Can you imagine something horrible that you did yesterday or the day before? That when you ask forgiveness, that the Father looks at you and says, I remember it no more. No more. That it's like you've never done it before, and to Him you have it. That's how powerful and amazing the blood of Jesus is. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves. Today I'm going to be talking about healing. Healing and what the Scripture says about physical healing and even spiritual healing upon our lives. And what we'll try to do is take that eye salve and put it upon our eyes, because we've got to remember that healing is still for today. I know there are preachers that are going around. There are certain sets of religions that say that healing has gone away, that it was done away with and when the disciples died. And I often throw this. I said, well, why isn't salvation done away with? Well, that's something different. But healing, and we can't forget, is still for today. It's still for today. It's still for today. You know, I'd say, well, Pastor, Jesus still, or the Father wants to still heal me today of all things? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. He wants to heal us physically, and He wants to heal us spiritually of all things. Does God really heal people today? Yes, He does. Let's look at some Scripture, because you see, everything we have to base everything on has to be based upon Scripture, and Scripture has to be interpreted right. So look at Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. It says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. That means Jesus healed not only the ones that were physical, that needed a physical healing, but also a spiritual healing in their heart. They were vexed with unclean spirits. That means unclean spirits were causing their sicknesses. Now, you might say, well, you know, is every sickness, you know, from an unclean spirit? No. Sometimes, a lot of times, we bring things upon ourselves by what we do or don't do. And so that affects our bodies. But Jesus healed everyone that had a physical ailment, something within their body, something that was diseased in their bodies. He healed them. But He also healed the ones that were vexed or brought upon by unclean spirits. That's still happening today. Many people are tormented. Tormented by evil spirits that have brought things upon their bodies. Now, they may have done something and allowed that thing to come in. We know now that we, because of the blood of Jesus, and we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus covers us. I remember years ago when I was working at Ford, there was I was doing something in the Bay Area, and it was right next to the sidewalk area. And this lady walked in, like she was walking on the sidewalk or whatever, and just came in. And I said, well, ma'am, how you doing, you know? And she got upset about something, and she was probably upset before she even walked in. She wasn't coming in for service. That wasn't it. She looked at me and she cursed me. Not cursing like bad language curse. She cursed my body. And she said some things. And I said, ma'am, that's when it came out of me. I said, ma'am, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And none of the curses that have come out of your mouth will affect me. And honestly, it will go back upon you. She turned around and left. It could have been a customer. I don't care who it would have been. You know, but you have to understand that those things are happening. And what it is people try to play with things that are just supernatural, trying to make themselves look good. But you see, we serve God Almighty. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve the God that has conquered all things in the spiritual realm. Everything. And has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And in doing so, we just rest in Him and He does it. We rest in His glory. We rest in His presence. And the power of the living God goes forth and brings victory to you and I. You see, if we could do it, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But because He came, He knew we could not have victory over any area of our lives except through the cross of Calvary. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, talking about Jesus, you were healed. God is saying, by the stripes of Jesus, what He did at Calvary's cross and the stripes that He bore upon His back, that we could have healing of our bodies physically and spiritually today. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we are healed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 22. I know I have you going all over the place. That's okay. We get to learn it in our Bibles. But you see, my job is to show you what the Scripture says. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. And we know she did. We know she did. We know physical healing is for us today. Now, I do need to address a little something here. I know many of us, and I know many people have come to us and asked us to pray. Somebody that was physically, you know, needed a healing for ourselves or for someone. And maybe it didn't happen. That's truth, huh? It didn't happen. Let's face it. I mean, let's not throw this under the rug here. It didn't happen. And maybe even things got worse. Who knows? But just because it didn't happen does not mean that God's word's not truth. It says in Scripture that God's wisdom is far beyond our wisdom. We don't know why. But it doesn't negate us from doing what the Scripture says. In praying, it says call for the elders of the church. Call for the people to come and lay hands and pray the prayer of faith to believe. We still do those things because of what the Scripture says. And we believe His word beyond what we may see in the physical or what may be happening in our bodies. Because probably every one of us needs some touch from God with our physical bodies, huh? I know it. I know it. The devil and even the world has ravished our bodies and has brought things upon us, however, and it has brought sickness somehow on our bodies, however. Something has happened. But we still can believe that our God is the God that keeps His word. We've read scriptures where people have been healed, and we know it's truth. So you see, we can still pray the prayer of faith and still believe. Like the little woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I would have the faith to believe, the faith to believe. Now, I don't want anybody to think, well, look, I don't have enough faith to believe. I don't know what God is doing, but I know His wisdom is far beyond ours. But we still believe in a God that can bring healing to our bodies. What I'm telling you this, don't give up. Don't give up. Just because you may not feel the healing in your body today and you're believing God to do something physically, because I know some people really need a miracle from God in their bodies. And the devil will try to tear down our faith that because we haven't gotten it yet. He tears down our faith to believe that maybe even God's word is not true or it's not for today. But that's absolutely not true. It says that when He died on the cross, He bore those stripes for our healing today physically. That we can believe Him and His healing power will come. So what we do is we stand in faith to believe, and Lord, whatever You want to do. Lord, whatever You want. Lord, I'm still believing You no matter what. No matter what. He's still the God that brings healing to His people. He's still a God that loves His people. He's still a God that cares about His people and wants to bring healing. Now, you may want to write this down. May want to write this down. We do not quote Scripture to gain healing, but we quote Scripture to affirm the healing of what He has already done for us on the cross. I'm going to say it again. We do not quote Scripture or know Scripture to gain healing. You know, it's like, man, I got to quote this Scripture. That Scripture. And then, Lord, I'm quoting it to get it from. No. We do not quote Scripture to gain healing. We quote Scripture to affirm the healing of what He has already done for us on the cross. Now, let me tell you what affirm means, because we got to know this. The meaning of affirm is to declare positively or firmly, maintain to be true, to support, uphold the validity of or confirm the healing there. So we're affirming the Scripture. Healing was a significant part of our Lord's ministry. Of the 3,779 verses of the four Gospels, 727 of them are devoted to Jesus' healing ministry. About one-fifth. Can you imagine? About one-fifth Not all the scriptures in the Bible. One-fifth of all scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's called the Synoptic Gospels. That's what it's called. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because they all basically wrote all about the same thing, just from a different perspective. One was a doctor, one was this, and whatever. That's just like all of us. We could see something, everybody have a different story about it. We all saw the same accident, though. We have half believe ones that fall and half believe the other. We all saw the same thing. But that's what it is, the four Gospels, about one-fifth. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals the leper in Galilee. Can you imagine? In Mark chapter 5, he heals a woman with an issue of blood. In Luke chapter 18, he heals the blind man. In Luke chapter 7, he heals the dead son of the widow of Nain. In Mark chapter 1, he heals Peter's mother-in-law of fever. Some say, why did he do that? That's a shame. That's a shame. Mark chapter 7 heals a deaf man with speech impediment. Speech impediment. You know, one word in the Old Testament says that God is Jehovah. But it says, it calls him, and God is Jehovah. That means he's God. But it says that he's Jehovah Rapha, which is, he's the God that heals. He's the God that heals. He's able to heal our physical bodies, people. And we should never forget that. Don't ever believe. Even though, let me tell you. If every one of us was in the hospital dying of cancer, and the doctor said you have 1 hour to live, we should all still declare that our God is the God of Jehovah Rapha, that he's the God that heals, no matter what. See, we don't go by physical, what we feel. We go by what the Word of God says and faith in him and what he can do. You know, we hear of many people being healed, and God is healing people tremendously all around the world of all kinds of things. Probably each and every one of us can go back at a time in our lives where God came by the Holy Spirit and did something with our physical bodies, huh? I mean, we felt it, we knew it, and God healed us of something. Something. That's the kind of God we serve. That he is a physical healing God. And still today, he's still the same. As it says in Scripture, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed people yesterday. He'll heal people today. And he'll heal people tomorrow. He's a physical healing God. And we should never depart from that, believing anything else, that he is there to heal our bodies and to heal us physically and spiritually. In Psalms chapter 51, if you would please turn there. Psalms 51. Just as very important is our physical healing. Psalms 51. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the spiritual healing in our lives. That's number one. We've all been spiritually healed, first of all, when we got saved. Definitely. When God came in and we said, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. Father, forgive me for all that I've done wrong, Lord. Father, forgive me, and I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I believe that what you said in your word, you have done, Lord. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. And I will live for you from this day forward to the best of my ability. Lord, leading God, it says that the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. And what he does is bring healing. He takes sin out, forgives us, and starts a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. in us. A spiritual healing from day one. A spiritual healing from day one of sin, forgiving us. And from that day forward, His job is never ending. Forgiving us, helping us, healing us of all kinds of things. One thing I know is this. Every one of us, you're going to laugh, were born, huh? We didn't come out of a cabbage, you know, and all this stuff. That's make believe. Every one of us was born of a woman. Okay. The time, from the time we were born till today, I know there were probably things that happened to you and even to me in our childhood that was horrible. Huh? Now, we've had a lot of good things. I mean, thank God we all came to the saving knowledge of God. Praise God. We've had some things that happened that wasn't so good. I know it. And that's hard. That's hard. Some worse than others. And it has brought some spiritual damage to the inside of us. It's like when we were born, like God just, like we represented a huge mansion. Beautiful, beautiful. The old Victorian mansions, like when we were born. And from the process of time that we were born till today, there have been some things that have not been so good to us, happened to us. It could be from divorce to hurt from children, hurt from spouses. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And you know, I can name all kinds of stuff, but we know what they are. We know what they are. And that mansion, because of the hurt, the shingles start to fly off. The doors come off the hinges. The paint starts to peel. And even maybe for some of us, the mansion burned down because of the pain and the hurt. I want to read something, and we'll come back to this in a little bit. But I want to give you hope that Jesus is our hope. It says when He died on the cross, He died for all transgressions, all sins, for everything, for the physical body and the spiritual body, most of all. Because you see, this physical body is, we have an average life of 75 years. It's gone. It's gone. Some of us think is when we hit over 50, it's gone. When over 60, it's gone. Well, you know, you're still here. You're still doing pretty good. Y'all look good, man. Y'all look good today. Golly. Ladies, you have your makeup on. You're looking good, man. Come here. Men, you're looking good. Looking good. Miss Anna's laughing. Y'all some very beautiful people. Y'all are. Because of the heart. The heart. A man after God's heart, like David. And that's talking about women too. Mankind after God's heart. But in Psalms 51, I want to read about a man called David, King David. Look at verse 1 of Psalms 51. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this great evil in your sight, for you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge." Verse 5, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom." Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Verse 9, hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressions your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. You delight not in burnt offerings. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. Verse 18, do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 19, then shall you be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon your altar. Here we see King David, and we know King David. We know the mess up he made. You know, it's one thing we mess up, and at least it's not written down for everybody to read it all eternity. Right, it's all eternity, because this word will live on forever. But can you imagine King David? We know, you know, he messed up. He saw Bathsheba on the rooftop, and he had her come into his house, and, you know, she was married to someone else, and he had her husband killed, and he committed adultery with her, and they had a child. She had a child for David, you know. David knew he messed up, guys. But can you imagine, we can read, as we read Psalms 51, David felt bad. See, that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. They could do the same thing, but the Christian will feel horrible. Wrong. I'm talking about wrong things. Horrible. That's the Spirit of God convicting us. That's how we know we've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, because we feel bad. You know, have you ever said a wrong word towards somebody and you walk away like they deserve it? And then, oh Lord, that night or that evening, you just feel like you feel lower than dirt. You got to call them or go visit them and apologize. And that's not easy. Not easy. You see, that's hurting of the spirit. That's where God has to heal our spirits. God had to help David because he was king. He was king. Even though he was king, he could not get away with evil. Not at all. Not at all. But God came and he called out to God and he cast everything upon him. And he said, Lord, forgive me. Cast me not away from your presence. You know, you hear that. Lord, cast me not away from your presence. Do you think in his mind he was thinking he was gone? That he would never be in the presence of God again? The source of his strength, the source of his power. I know sometimes when we do things, it hurts our spirit. That's the main thing. And instead of running to God, we run away from him. And we try to keep ourselves busy by cleaning everything in our houses, cleaning the attic, cleaning the cars, doing everything just to keep us busy so we don't have to think of it. But we always got to go and lay our heads down on that pillow. That pillow. And everything becomes quiet. And we got to think again. So what we do is we got to go to him first so he can bring healing to those areas of our lives. Just as I talked about a little bit, things that happened to us when we were young. I know it. But go to him and say, Father, I need a healing. Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need a healing. Father, heal me spiritually. I need a healing. I need it. just as he came in to David and helped him and healed him. And David was the most godly king. Today, if he would have done that today, we would have kicked him out, had him stoned, and thrown him away. But God said, oh, no, 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 no. Come to me. He healed that man and did mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Because he ran to God and said, don't cast me away, but take me in. Bring healing to my life. Bring healing so we can behold. Psalms 147, verse 3. 147, verse 3. He healed David's life. Look at this, guys. Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Wow. He heals the broken in heart. I know there's a lot that has happened. And God says he comes in and wants to heal us spiritually. It says that he heals the broken hearts. That's the kind of God we serve. That we can go to him and say, Father, I don't understand this. You know, I don't understand this. But he can heal those broken hearts. And buddy, he can make it. And I know for some of us, it's maybe impossible to believe. But I'm telling you, he can make it like it never happened to us. Whatever it was. And bring healing to that spiritual part of us. Because you see, we're made of spirit, soul, and body. It's ironic, everything starts with spirit, soul, and body. We are more spirit than soul and body. We're made of all three. But that spirit man lives on forever. Forever. And that spirit man needs to be healed of things. And the only healing agent is the blood of Jesus. The only healing agent is the Holy Spirit that can come in and heal those areas of our bodies so we could be made whole. You might say, Pastor, I'm too far gone. No one is too far gone. Not one person. Unless you're in your grave. And nobody's in their grave today. That God can come in, and as we give it to him, he heals our bodies. You might say, well, how long do I need to go to him? You go to him till total restoration is done. You go to him till total restoration. Well, can God totally restore me the minute I pray? He can do it because he's all powerful, but we can't take it. It's hard. When God starts to deal with things on the inside of us, it's hard. But as we allow the Spirit of God to come in and heal those areas of our lives, we become what? Like our Savior. Not as a Savior, not at all, but like Him, whole, so that we can give out to other people and share with them what God has done for us. How powerful He is. How He can heal our bodies physically and heal our spirits also. Psalms 43, verse 5. Psalms 43, verse 5. He's the great healer. It says this, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my consciences and my God. David was speaking to himself. Why are you cast down, spirit? Why are you cast down, spirit? Why are you cast down? Speaking to himself. And why are you disquieted within me? And he's speaking to, he says, hope in God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage your spirit in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Look. Excuse me. I could become depressed in a minute if I start thinking about all the bad. My God. I mean, we can have a gloom and doom service here. But God brings hope. God brings joy. God brings happiness. God brings peace. As we look to Him, we can encourage ourselves as we quote scriptures. We can encourage ourselves as we look at what He did. We can encourage ourselves and not look at what's the physical, but look at the spiritual of what our God has done and what our God wants to do in us. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord, saying, yes, thank you, Lord, that you're healing my body. Thank you, Lord, that you're healing my spirit. Lord, thank you that I'm being made whole in the presence of our God. Thank you, Lord, that my faith is in you, Lord God, that from this day forward my eyes will be fastened upon you and not looking to what the world is saying, but looking to what the Word of God is saying and who I am in Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him. We can do all things through Christ, the things that He calls us to do, because He is our God. He is our God, and He encourages His people. David said, I need to encourage myself in Him, because David was low at that time. It says, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance. That's an amazing statement, people. For I shall yet praise Him, and David says, who is the health of my countenance and my God. What the Spirit is on the inside of us is what our face will be, the countenance. It says when Moses went up to the mountaintop, and when he was coming down, it says the glow of the Spirit of God was upon him. We need to look at what's on the inside of us and say, Lord, heal my body. Spiritually and physically. You see all the hurts. You see what's been going on since day one to today. And look, it's an ongoing process. When we think we've arrived, there's something else that happens. And we go to God and we say, Lord, help me. Help me. He's the God. It says what? That the Holy Spirit is our comforter. That He comes and He's right next to us. A brother and a comforter to us. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned by God to come and be our help. To be our help. That we don't have to wander around and do for ourselves. And Lord, what am I going to do? That we can go to Him and the Spirit of God, the Father sends the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit that roams the earth today. Which is part of the Godhead, the third person of the Godhead that is in us and is in the world, helping us to conquer these things and to bring healing to our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies. That's the kind of God we serve. Last scripture, Psalms 34, verse 19. Really don't like this scripture, but I know it's truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The first part I kind of don't like. I love the second one. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Remember that, guys. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Things are going to come, people. Hurts are going to come to our hearts. Things are going to come. You just be at the foot of our Lord and Savior and say, Lord, heal my heart. Because you see, the ones that can bring the worst pain are the ones we're closest to. It's true. It's true. Children, spouses, church. We love you guys. The other day, Jelaine told someone, oh man, it's good to see you. She said, I just told her, I miss you. And she said, the lady, her heart just melted. And she looked, she said, you miss us? She said, we miss y'all. You see, just those words soften the heart of a person. Because you see, everybody wants to feel important, huh? That you're important to somebody. Remember, you're always important to God. Always. And you're important to us. To us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? As every head is bowed and every eye closed. I know we talked about healing. Healing. And healing is for today. Physically and spiritually. Before we leave today, as no one's looking around, if you need a physical healing in your body, would you please raise your hand if you do? And you want God to, I'm not saying you. Maybe you've gone to God already, and that's great. I see one for anyone else. Anyone else? I'm asking another question. If you need a spiritual healing from God, you need God to heal. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. A few people raised their hands, and it's not too late. I'm not going to have you come up because I don't want to embarrass anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable. That's never, never. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, we know your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And Father, I'm asking you for a physical and a spiritual healing in my body. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can look this way. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And look, I pray you have a great week this week. Now, I heard it's not supposed to be that cold, is it? Is it? Unless somebody's... No. So we're doing good this week. Okay. So Wednesday night we have Bible study. So try to be here if you can. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit works. But I tell you, we appreciate you guys. And we thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. And don't forget, next week, Otis is preaching. So pray for him. Amen. God bless you.